confidence this morning. Does anybody know what confidence is? It's like the power to get up before everybody and speak. Surely. No, that's arrogance. Oh, wait. Confidence. And you know, the Bible, there's a place in the Bible. We just sang in one of our songs about casting your confidence. Be careful, you know, about not to give up your confidence. Be careful that you're not lured away. You know, when everything is going well, we're pretty confident. But we're to be very confident even when things are not going well. Anybody? Anybody have a pretty tough week this week? Amen. Anybody get shot down, you know, over enemy territory? Come on. Well, your confidence is that you're going to be rescued today. Amen. Even if we have been shot down, we're still going to be rescued. We just got to have a different level. But this morning I'm going to ask you, who is your hope in? Who is our hope in? How is your outlook on life today? What is your outlook? How is your outlook? Are you like one of those sour messes? You know, are you a gummy bear or are you a sour patch? Huh? Some of us, man, how you doing? Good. That's an outlook. That's your appearance on the outlook and appearance. I told my wife, why are you so mad? She goes, I'm not mad. Today we will be searching for that elusive bug called joy. We'll be searching the deserts and the jungles looking for that thing that's called happiness. And it's been missing for a while. We've been searching and speaking about the move of God, the revival that just some can't enter in because of the difficulties in our lives and have been sidetracked by confusion. Confusion and confidence, they war against, just the way the Bible says that the spiritual wars against the flesh. The things of God war against the things of flesh. Now, we are flesh beings, right? Most of us? Well, someone bury that man. He's been gone a while. Well, we're in the flesh. Come on, you know. And I'm just so glad because yesterday walking in my day and everything, we were worried. My wife wanted to take a wheelchair. Really, she just wanted favor because if I'm in the wheelchair, we get to go first. Get in the wheelchair. No, get in the wheelchair. Listen, but the will of God will never have to be confused or distracted if we have that will. It comes to our relate when it comes to our relationships and our benefits. You know, we shouldn't be confused. We should be confident that what God has prepared for us, that he has made a plan with it. Even when we encounter people that just, you know, there's going to be some people that just don't like you. But it shouldn't affect you. Right. It shouldn't be, you shouldn't be cast down by it. You shouldn't be dismayed by it. Not everybody's going to like you. You might have one or two. Hebrews 10 and 32 says this. Get your Bibles out this morning. Write on them. I love my wife. We were at CCC on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. We went to church Wednesday night over there. And my wife was reading in the Bible. Circling and writing. And I looked down and I saw my name. And I go, she turns it real quick. I go, I just want to see what my name. She goes, your name is all over this Bible. Hebrews 10 says this, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Come on. I believe that some of us don't even know how to act and believe anymore when it comes to God because we have been so discouraged in the past and question if God's even going to answer your prayer. Everybody ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like, you know what, God has done so much for me? I can't even complain because he's just not doing anything in this situation. Anybody else? Am I the only one? Am I the only one that says, you know what, God's just not answering me? It happens. We get in that place. Hebrews 10 and verse 35 said, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Let's pray. Father, this morning I thank you that, Lord, you illuminate the service. You illuminate the words that are being preached. You illuminate my voice and your spirit within us today, God. Lord, you just illuminate yourself. Come in this meeting and welcome here to teach us, to be with us, to bring confidence to what we have and what you can do, Lord, in our life. Oh, Lord, like children, sometimes we just think, oh, our parents don't love us because they won't let us. And that's not true. You're not letting us because you know what's better for us. And so, Father, this morning, I thank you that as we invite you here, that, Lord, you take over this service. And that, Lord, you open our hearts to receive and our eyes to see and our ears to hear what you need to be said. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Proverbs 13 and 12 says this, hope deferred makes a heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Anybody else? Anybody else just got every no thrown in, every door slammed in their face, and then one day, all of a sudden, it opens wide up, and everything happens? And God's timing is perfect. It's the promise that he talked about. But you know what? A hope deferred, meaning when things don't happen, sometimes we can get downcast. Hope deferred, come on, makes a heart sick. Sometimes our kids, it just doesn't look like anything's happening in our family and our kids. And we're just like, man, I don't know. You'll never give up on your kids. Don't ever give up on your kids. Don't ever give up on your family. Don't ever give up on anybody. Just trust God. And I don't care what it looks like. You know, but sometimes our heart hurts. Our heart hurts about some situations in our life. Don't worry. Have confidence today. How is your outlook today? Are we like that gummy bear or that Sour Patch? Ray Alvarado, he didn't know, has been in the hospital a lot this week and given some tough news. But God, I'm Ray. Amen. But while he was in there around some uncomfortable reasons, but really for a godly divine appointment, Ray was in one room and something happened in the room and he told the nurse, I got to get out of here. And so they moved him and they moved him around a little bit and he found himself in another room, and he called me up and said, they moved me over here, amen? And this young man was Carlos was his roommate, and had been shot and robbed and really had an eye-opening, life-changing experience. But Ray ministered to him, and before I even came with the other pastors, the Spirit was working in Carlos. As we began to even come in the door, as I began to walk by gingerly, because he was asleep, like because Ray was behind the curtain, and I really wanted to give Ray a restful awakening. He says, Pastor Dennis, this young man. And I said, yeah? He goes, I'm Carlos. Ray's been talking to you. I said, hey, how are you? Began to speak with him. This young man wasn't crying because he hadn't almost lost his life, but he had been contemplating suicide and had no hope. See, this man was tender to the things I was saying. As I began to speak to him, he just instantly began to cry and weep. And he'd cry. Every time I say something that's spiritual, I wouldn't even say it. I'm just looking at him like, and I said, the Lord is all over you. I didn't have to say a word because God had already been speaking to his heart. But this young man had been seasoned on the streets. He was there for a reason. He wasn't delivering Bibles when he got shot. Nobody will shoot you for Bibles. Well, maybe someday that way it might happen. But this man was doing things he shouldn't have been doing, and he got robbed in the middle of it. And he almost lost his life. But the irony, and this is the thing here, he wasn't crying because he was shot. He was crying because he was giving his life away. He was contemplating suicide. He was like done with life. He's a young man, a good-looking kid. He was a good-looking kid, 32 years old. I thought he was in his 20s. He was 32. Good-looking kid. His girlfriend's there. She's crying. They have a little girl or something, right? A baby. crying and everything. I'm like, you know, but I'm talking to him, and he's just weeping. Amen. And the irony is because he got shot or he thought he was going to die. He wanted to die. 32 years old. Never a father. His whole life ahead of him. And the devil convincing him that his life wasn't worth anything. A young guy. Can you imagine? His whole life ahead of him. Graduations for his children. Marriages. Watching his kids grow up and things that we see every day. Things that make us. You know why God is gone? Because he loves to watch us play football. He loves to watch us play golf. He loves to watch us in the play. God loves to watch us in church. He just looks at you. When you come in here, he's here and he's looking at each one of you. He's on you. He's next to you. He's by you. He's just like, so glad you're here. Woo, you're in my house. And he would have missed all that. He didn't know. He had been confused. He had been distracted by the enemy. Hope deferred makes a heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Carlos received eternal life and forgiveness this week, and the heavens are rejoicing. Good job, Ray. Pat on the back. Pat on the back. But great job, God. Great job, Holy Spirit. Great job. Pastor Pete, Larry, and Ray, and myself, and also C, but there was much more prayers going up for this young man. He said his friend has been trying to get him to go to church. He said, you know, Pastor, I said, you got to come. I said, do you know somebody praying for you? He goes, man, my friend, one of my best friends has been trying to get me to go to church. I just won't go. I said, that brother's been praying for you. I said, if you don't come to church with me, come, you're welcome, but go with him. Tell him, call him up and say, I'm going to church with you. Watch what he does. His mother and his grandmother's, some of the ladies came and they were just crying because he was changed. He was changed in that room. I mean, he was weeping and weeping and weeping. And I'm not, you know, this kid's no sissy. He's been through some stuff. He looked tough. But beyond all that toughness, there was discouragement. There was distraction. The enemy had their way in him. Ray had to go through all that. Sorry, Ray. And I believe because of this precious life and his girlfriend also received Christ. Ray had to go to the hospital, hear that he was going to go through surgeries and everything else, and then the power of God worked. We prayed, and then they say, there's nothing wrong with you. Go home. But even then, we start to believe things. Oh, I don't want to have this, and I don't want this to be on me, and I don't want to go through that. Whatever. You know, even when I went through my surgery, I mean, Denise said, God, not my will, your will be done. We'll go through it. I didn't want to go through it. But God, whatever you want. And how many people did we pray for in the hospital? Hundreds. We prayed for, they knew who I was in the hospital. The nurses, the doctors, everybody knew I was Pastor Dennis in the hospital. They came. They made excuses to come in there. I'm coming to check your temperature. I say, Lear, and they go, no, on the wall. Talking. Hey, I got this problem. I was rolling over. Check that. No, I'm right. But Ray had to go through that. You had to go through that. That Carlos and his girlfriend, perhaps the rest of that little girl's life, will come to know the knowledge of how good God is. We have to go through some things. When there's, you know, hope deferred. Some of us have to go through things that God's work can be accomplished in our lives. We're going to go through things. He already said in the opening scripture that we're going to go through that. We're going to give some stuff up. We're going to go through things that God can be established. Come on. He never leaves us. Carlos's family were praying for him and changes for his life. Then one of the ladies told Ray, he has to have changes in his life. And Ray said, there is already change in his life. And I wonder if they were wondering if God was listening. I can only see his mom and maybe his aunts thinking, man, they don't see the outcome. They know what he's doing. They know what he's delivering. They know what his lifestyle's like. And they're probably thinking, God just ain't working in Carlos. What's going on, God? What is it? You know, what is it, God, that you can't touch Carlos? Is he one of the untouchable? Has he entered so far into the world? Has he got so far out there that he cannot be touched? No! He ended up right where he wanted to with a gunshot wound. Whatever it takes, just don't take his life. My mom prayed that. She goes, Lord, everybody says he's mentally gone. You know, he's gone or whatever. She goes, hey, whatever it takes, just don't take his life. And I believe that's that prayer. I came in dragging myself and crawling across the floor, mad out of my mind. But I was not killed. Whatever it takes. Do we want to see God move in the power of our midst? People, we have some preparation to do. We have to know how to act before our God. When there is a move of God going in here, there's a preparation of what's about to happen in our church, and there's something going on. You may not understand a word I'm saying, but you're going to. That there's a presence of God that's coming, that you know what, we're going to walk in. The Holy Spirit's going to run the whole thing. We're going to just walk in. God's going to have his way. The rest of us are going to get out of the way. And we're going to allow God to move. And you might think, I don't know, I've heard all that before and everything else. That's okay. If you don't want to enter in, don't enter in. But you ain't going to hold me back. I'm entering in. But we got to learn how to act. There's some responsibility to a move of God. It isn't about selling t-shirts or getting this building or another building full. It has nothing to do with numbers or anything else. It's about what God wants to do in people's lives. It's about the Carlos as the one that have no clue about who God is. It's about ones that never experience the presence of God, just to where everything has been washed clean like a baby lamb. You're just like, oh, fresh start. Some of us need a fresh start. 1 Chronicles 29 and 10 says this. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. Come on, church. And David said, "Yours, blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and majesty. For all that is in heaven and all and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honors come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is the power and the might. In your hand is to make great, and give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly at this? For all things come from you." Again, all things come from you. "And your own we have been given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." 16. "O Lord God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house is for your holy name. From your hand is all your own. I also know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. For as me in the right uprightness of my heart, I will willingly offer you all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly," listen, "willingly to you, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers. Keep this forever in the intent of our thoughts and our heart of your people, and fix their heart towards you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build a temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to the assembly, "Listen, church, now bless the Lord your God." So all the assembly blessed the Lord, God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. Are you listening? Are you listening? David's talking not to his elite. David's not talking to even the assembly. David is preparing a place before God.
Jesus.
Me and everyone with me, we're going before
Jesus.
You. And here's the thing. Willingly, we're saying, I'm doing this no matter what. I'm not just saying, oh, well, because everybody else is going, I want to go. No, I willingly, and my will is to see you, Lord, performed at your highest. King, my Lord, my God, that you be. Are we willing to enter in with an offer of joy? Or does the things of this world have more of our attention? David is setting a precedence for a move of God, for what's going to be built, for what's going to happen. He's setting something up for the future, for not only himself, but his children's children. He's setting something up for the rest of time. He's saying, I'm going to make an impact right now that's going to go into eternity. I'm setting a pact with you, God, that right now I am determining in me and those that will go with us, that we are saying, this is for the future, not for me, but for my children's children. You know what? Some of us say, I want my kids saved, but we're not even saved. I don't want my kids doing this, but we're doing it. Are you willingly serving God? He said to the assembly, he's saying this, whoever will listen to me this morning, I'm setting something up in you. Glory to your name. Are we willing to enter in with an offering of praise? Are we willing to say, God, I just praise you this morning? When we come in, are we saying, Lord, I don't like the music. Pastor's too loud. Earplugs, bro, cotton. Take some cigarette butts, some of those, and break your cigarettes and put the butt in your ear. There's cotton in them sticks. That's the only thing healthy about them. But don't we get like that? I'm just making a joke about the music, but there's some things at church we just don't like. Who cares? It's an offering unto God. I don't like Pastor. He never tucks his shirt in. Well, if you had a belly, never mind. David understood the importance of a congregation praising God. Because everything is from God. We make it about ourselves. There's a song that says, Lord, forgive me for what I have made it. And you know, in church sometimes, it's all about us. Well, I don't like that part. The Lord said, I'm making it like that for you. Come on, because sometimes we just need to quit looking like that and start looking up. How's my chin? Someone says, you got a sour look on your face all the time. Well, how can you see it? We will have our sanctuary, but God will give it when we're ready. Come on, and not before. But we have to prepare in the same way, letting God know that we're ready to occupy the territory. He's not going to give us a building or a church because we want a building. He's not going to give us a church because our butts are uncomfortable on these old chairs. That's to suffer for a while. He's going to give us a church when it's about him, when we're honoring him, where we don't, you know what? The chair shouldn't matter because we should be standing praising God. Maybe you're spending too much time in the chair. Hallelujah. Man, praise God. I remember when I was at another church, I won't mention the name, but man, every time I had something going, I'd get up and praise God. Someone, a lady said to me, sir, can you sit down? I said, no. But it was rude, kind of, but I ended up going to the end of the row, and I still stood up, praise God. I didn't want to distract her. That was a distraction. But you see what I'm saying? Every time something happened, whoo, praise God. Whew. And I was in such a better shape then. Not this. This. I was in such better shape when nothing bothered me. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Come on. Watch. 2 Chronicles 29:17 said this, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in my uprightness of my heart, I will willingly offer all these things. And now with what? I have seen your people who are present here to offer what? Willingly to you. It ain't about music. It ain't about the pastor. It ain't about nothing else. It's about the assembly praising God together. Offering an offer of praise. Come on. We can't be wishy-washy. Expect God to move on every whim. We can't just create an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. Some people won't enter in because they said, oh, they're just making that. Oh, no, they're just trying to create something. That pastor's trying to get something started. He needs starter fluid because it ain't working. It's not what I can create or you can create or anything else. He's the creator. He's moving. If you're looking at somebody else and they're on fire, don't knock them down. Get next to them. Catch the fire. Get together and say, what are you doing? I want to be a part of it. Get moving because it works. The assembly. Today the Lord is more concerned about the things that distract you and the junk holding you back from giving your all that you have. We sing that song, Tremble, in the song we sing, peace, bring it all to peace. The storms, come on, help me. Still, let it break at your name. Still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name. Listen, we sing these songs because some of us are so sour when we come in here. Bring it all to peace. The rage in me, dude. And then next thing you know, you're like, Jesus, Jesus. Come on. So what? There's vomit in the back seat from the babies. Come on. Am I speaking the truth right now? Peace. Man, you start speaking to your situation, you start speaking to your mountain. Peace, bring it all to peace. Are you struggling with peace? Today, let it break. We talked last week about the short fuse and the struggles of anger. In that same song, it says, still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still. See what I'm talking about? There's things that are going in our life. There's things that God wants to deal with. There's things he's setting in motion to get us to the same place. We want to see the move of God. We want to see that presence. We want to have the aura. But we're going to do it together. Not just a few of us are going to enter into the Spirit. He's starting to work on all of us. He's starting to manifest himself in all of us. The Holy Ghost is beginning to move. He's beginning to push things out the door. He's beginning to clean the house. Watch. Rage is definitely not of God. It's a distraction that holds us back from peace. When the bad report comes along, they will come. And they will come. We should not be cast down, but fall back on our faith. We're going to get bad reports. I get them all the time. We got a bad report yesterday. I got a bad report this morning. I got no money. How are you going to buy this coffee?
Peace, be still.
You know we're going on a trip. Praise God. Don't worry about it. My confidence isn't in your wallet. You can't have my wallet. Come on. When that bad report comes along, and they will come, we should not be cast down, but fall back on our faith. Watch this. The disciples in the boat, when the storm rose up, they thought they would perish. But what did Jesus say? 8:26 said, he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Peace. Bring it all to peace. Come on. Are you listening to me? The disciples, his own, that which seen God moving and understood him the most. And we're going to fall into that trap. If they can fall in the trap, we're going to fall in the trap. Them same disciples, they won't come up. They waited, and they were seasoned, man. They're rowing in this storm. Leave them asleep. We can do it on our own. Come on, let's do it on our own. Don't you know that every time they said, "Don't wake them up, we'll do it on our own," it got worse? And finally someone said, "Jesus, we're going to perish." And he just looked at them like, boom, boom, caused the sea to calm. That's us. We want to move into the Spirit. We want to get into that place I'm talking about. Some of us are getting whims of it. They're feeling in the Spirit, and we're still holding it down. But he's saying this, as soon as I'm invited in, the sea will calm. The move of God will happen. Things are about to change. What it looked like yesterday will not be the same today. Watch. We get bad reports every day, but it's not going to steal our peace. 1 Peter 5:6 said this, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Here, let's go a little farther, because we love to read right now. Oh, because he casts his care. Somebody help me. Number 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here it is. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings experienced by the brotherhood who is in the world. Listen, you are not special in the fact that God is not going to allow you to go through things. Oh, you're the best 50-year-old baby I ever had. No. Mm-mm. Sorry. Mm-mm. No. 10. But may God of all grace, who called us into his eternal glory of Christ, after you have what? After you have what? A while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Do you know we got to go through things to see who God is? I don't trust God no more because, man, they got me out of one. I went right into another. Welcome to the club. That's right. The disciples were the same way. Same thing that happened to them. They just saw all kinds of miracles that they didn't expect it to happen in their life. We seen Larry get out of a bed and they give him a week. We got George back there who wasn't supposed to live. You know what I'm saying? And then we're going to say, oh, my God, this cold's to death. No. And it's not serious. Some of us got some serious issues in our body. God's no respecter of person. Come on. They had to go through stuff to show us. Are you here? Perfect, established, and strengthened. I will settle you. Shall be those concerns in our lives if we trust in him. He's going to settle you. It's all going to come to a head. It's all going to come to rest. It's all going to go. He's just taking you through something today. If you want to enter in, you just can't because you got too many things going on. Do you know what holds you back? Not your unbelief, not your little faith, nothing holds you back from the presence of God. It's the distractions, the little foxes. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors. So why does the cares of this world hold us back from victory? Pastor Ricardo was so right on Thursday when he said how others can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving and we can't feel anything. Some of them are weeping and crying and they can hear God and wait. They feel the presence. God is moving. They're speaking to him. And some of us are just going, I'm missing. I can't hear. I can't. And there's a reason we're like that. And you're not wrong. You're not bad. It's nothing wrong. You just haven't entered in yet. You haven't stopped and said, Lord, I hear you. And waited on him. It just entered in. In the assembly, David said, in the assembly. He's not saying only a few. Lord, my chosen group are going to come before you and we're going to get information for everybody else. No, he said, in the assembly, he's talking about all of us are going to go in together. Watch. Why are so on fire and we can't enter? Why were the disciples so worried when Jesus wasn't in the ship? One more scripture here. Let's see. Psalms 107:23 says this. My wife showed this to me the other morning. Those who go down in the ship, in the seas, and in the ships, who do business in the great waters, they see the works of the Lord and the wonders of the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind and lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up in heavens. They go down again in the depths. Their souls melt like trouble, like melts of trouble, because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and they are at their wits' end. You got to remember something here. This book right now, what they were writing, was 1,000 years, maybe more, 2,000. Larry's going to correct me as soon as we get done. He's going to call me and say, Pastor, it's 2,800 years and 72 days and 60 minutes. It was a long time. Am I safe? Before the guys were in the boat. It was a long time before the guys were in the boat, but he's talking exactly what's going on. Seasoned fishermen in the storms, in the sea, and they were going to be like going up, and it was going to be like raging water. There was going to be depths, and they were going to be at their wits' end. He was talking about this. He was talking about a circumstance, and then they said that this guy will bring it to peace. Who is he talking about? God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well before, and no difference as he says that in the same circumstances as we're going through stormy waters, as things look up and then they look down and they look up, we are at wit's end sometimes and we are in the same boat that God was talking about here. He shall bring it to peace. Yes, even the seasoned men and women can be heavy laden with the cares of this world, but we need to cast those cares and trust on Jesus. In 107:27 said this, they reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wit's end. Do you remember last week about toiling for the devil? And how I talked about spinning for the devil, just spinning recklessly, and every once in a while you catch sight of something as you spin. Remember Jose? We had to give him water. Anybody remember the message? And we spin, and every once in a while we'll catch a glimpse of what we need to see. But that's how the devil has us. We're never in one place. He's spinning us. He's toiling us. And that's what the storms do sometimes. Sometimes that water, the sea, and the highs and the lows and going and everything else, we need God to bring it to peace this morning. We need to come together. Amen. When the cares of this world override the word of God, we become our worst enemy. The devil doesn't have to work hard. He has us right where he wants us when he has us spinning like that. 1 Peter 5:6 says this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let's all say it together. Casting all your care upon him, for him who cares for you. Let's stand this morning. Glory to God. Willingly.